And we'll have our Bible reading for this morning, and Julie is going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Our Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, and it's on page 972 of the Bible. A tree and its fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Amen.
Lovely. Thank you, Julie. So, if you need any reminding, we are obviously working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And only a couple of more Sundays on the Sermon on the Mount, so we're very near the end. I think I said last time, if the Sermon on the Mount was a mountain, then last Sunday we reached the top of the mountain. I say that because verse 12 of chapter 7, Jesus says this, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Which is quite a remarkable statement, really. Jesus is saying that the whole of the entirety of the Old Testament can be summed up in that one verse. You know, the whole of the law and the prophets can be summed up in doing to others what you want them to do to you. Staggering statement, I think. And now as we come down the mountain, Jesus gives four warnings. We looked at one the last time, the broad road and the narrow road. So you have a wide gate and a narrow gate. The narrow gate obviously leads to a narrow road, and the wide gate leads to a wide road. And Jesus says that most people are traveling through life on the wide road or the broad road. But that leads to destruction. But most people are on it. But the narrow road leads to life. But only a few find it. So that's a lot to think through, really. Of course, the narrow road is the life with Jesus. He is the gate. If we trust him and walk that narrow road, then it leads to life. Life in all its fullness. So that, I suppose that was the first warning. And then we come to the next one, which, where are we? It's all about false prophets. Warnings are important, aren't they? If you're a parent or think of your own parents. Every parent warns their child, don't they? You know, when you're crossing the road, make sure you stop and listen and look both ways. They warn you because they love you. Don't talk to strangers. You know, your parents, or you might warn your own children, because they love you. They don't want you to come to harm. And that's exactly the same with Jesus. And the reason he's warning people is because he loves them and he doesn't want them to come to harm. He doesn't want them to go down the road that leads to destruction. And now he's saying, beware of false prophets. So this is the second warning. In many ways, he's saying, pay attention, be on your guard, because there's a lot at stake. You know, if you succumb to falsehood, if you like, then there's a lot at stake. So Jesus, he's clearly assuming there will be false prophets. And we know, for example, in the Old Testament, there were many false prophets. And even in the New Testament, Jesus seems to include amongst the false prophets the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who he refers to as blind guides, you know, the blind leading the blind sort of thing. A false prophet is anyone who claims to speak for God or from God, but of course who isn't. And that could be anyone. Although Jesus uses the term prophet or a false prophet, it's anyone who brings a message claiming to be from God and that it's not from God. It's a false message. You know, that could be somebody on a blog, or an author, or a teacher, or a preacher. Anyone who claims to bring a message from God, but that message isn't actually from God. And virtually every New Testament letter has references to false prophets or false teachers. And interestingly, Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is talking about the end of the world, or just before he returns, he says two things will be very evident. One is there'll be a widespread sharing of the gospel, but also there'll be an increase in false prophets. People bringing messages supposedly from God. You can read about that in Matthew 24. So having told us to watch out for false prophets, he now tells us a bit more about these false prophets. So watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. See, a false prophet can look great, they can sound great, and there may even be a ring of truth about what they are saying. But that's precisely what makes them so dangerous. They are so skilled in blending in with those around them. Jesus says they come to you in sheep's clothing. Now remember, Jesus is talking to sheep. He's talking to sheep, isn't he, these disciples. And he's basically saying, these false prophets, they look just like you. They look just like you. It's even possible they might go to the same church as you. And Jesus goes on to say, inwardly, though, they are ferocious wolves, ravenous wolves. In other words, there's a level of danger associated with anyone who claims to speak for God, and yet their message deviates away from what the Bible teaches. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. And here he's saying farewell to the believers in Ephesus. It's from Acts chapter 20. He says that, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock, even from your own number, will arise and distort the truth in order to draw many disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day, even with tears. One of the major characteristics of Old Testament false prophets was that they promised peace, for example, when God's judgment was on the horizon. For example, let me give you a couple from Jeremiah. So from Jeremiah chapter 20. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says to his people. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They are making everything up. They say, do not speak that. They do not speak for the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise my word, don't worry, the Lord says you will have peace. And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, no harm will come your way. So they were given a false hope and almost a license to sin. You know, everything's all right. The Lord's not going to judge anyone. Just carry on as you are. Another one from Jeremiah in chapter 8. How can you say we are wise because we have the word of the Lord when your teachers have twisted it by writing lies? Yes, even my prophets and priests are like that. They are all frauds. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of these disgusting actions? Not at all. They don't even know how to blush. And so by promising peace or speaking this message, you know, they're offering a sort of false sense of security to God's people. But in actual fact, they should have been warning them about an impending judgment and how to take action to avoid it. I want to give you this quote from John Stott. It's quite a long one, but just follow along as best you can. He says this, it is surely not an accident that Jesus' warning about false prophets in the Sermon on the Mount follows his teaching about the two gates, the two roads, and the two crowds, and the two destinations. For false prophets are adept at blurring the issue of salvation. Some so muddle or distort the gospel that they make it hard for seekers to find the narrow gate. Others try to make out that the narrow way is in fact much broader than Jesus implied. And to walk it requires little, if any, restriction on one's belief or behavior. Yet others, perhaps most dangerous of all, dare to contradict Jesus and to assert that the broad road does not lead to destruction, but that as a matter of fact, all roads lead to God, and that even the broad and narrow roads, although they lead off in different directions, both end in life. Okay, so Jesus is saying, be on your guard against false prophets, false teachers, people claiming to speak a message from God that isn't. Okay, so Jesus now goes on to tell us how we will recognize a false prophet. Verses 16 to 20. He says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by the fruit, you will recognize them. I suppose the question is, what is meant by fruit? By their fruit, you will recognize them. And this is where it gets a little bit, I suppose, interesting, even controversial. And the view that I hold here is very much in the minority. What does he mean by fruit? See, most people would say the fruit is the character. And I would imagine that's what you're thinking if you're part of the majority. It's their character, it's their behavior. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Do they display that? And most people would say that is what Jesus is referring to. I personally don't think it's got anything to do with character. See, the problem with character and behavior is that we can all pretend to be nice, to be patient, to be gentle, to be kind. We can all do that. And I think maybe as we worked our way through the Sermon on the Mount, what is Jesus' main concern? It's the heart. It's not the outward. You know, we can all take the Pharisees, for example. Well, how godly they were on the outward. You know, praying and fasting. And by the appearance and their behavior, everybody thought they were amazing. But lurking within the heart, that told a very different story. How do we know someone is a false prophet? It's by what they say. You see, it's out of the overflow of the heart that their mouth speaks. How do we know what's in someone's heart? Inevitably, it will spill out in what they say. Our words reveal what is in our heart. So the fruit isn't the character. It's not behavior. It's the words that we say. Listen to these words in Matthew chapter 12, when Jesus is using the same analogy of fruit. So in Matthew 12, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in them. And an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in them. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. See, the fruit is the words that we speak. And by extension, I suppose we could say, the effect those words have on others. And so really, we need to be those who know God's word so that we can distinguish between truth and error. And so when a false message comes to us, we can go, alarm bells begin to ring. We don't need to assess, are they kind? Are they gentle? Are they patient? Because we can kind of do these things and still speak a false message. So Jesus, as we're coming down the mountain, he gives warnings to his disciples. The first one is make sure you're entering the narrow gate, not the broad one. The broad one where you can just basically do what you like and no restrictions whatsoever. Go through the narrow gate. Trust in Jesus. There will be restrictions on your life, but it leads to life. And now he gives another warning. Beware of false prophets. They are ferocious wolves, but they are dressed in sheep's clothing. And that's quite a picture, isn't it? A ferocious wolf, and yet it's dressed. It's got all the Christian jargon. It can sing all the hymns. It can do all sorts of things. And yet, if we know God's word, then we should be able to identify. So Jesus says, be on your guard to what is false. Okay, Okay, we are going to leave it there and we will come to the next warning next time. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love for us and in giving these warnings that Jesus gave to his disciples. Lord, we recognize he gave them to them because he loves them. And he didn't want anyone to succumb to lies or to go down the wrong road. And Lord, thank you that that's true for us too, that you love us. And so, although these warnings are hard to hear, Lord, help us to receive them in the spirit they were given, out of a spirit of love. And help us, we pray, Lord, to walk with you day by day and to honor you. Help us to recognize what is wrong and what is false. Lord, give us a deeper love for your word and an understanding of it. And we pray your protection over us, Lord, as your people. So we pray your blessing, Lord. Pray that you'll go with us through this coming week, that we might know the joy and the help and the comfort of your Holy Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.